This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yeheye Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
And we realize that in the current circumstance, and the current circumstances, talk about peace now, although my organization's name is Peace Now, is not realistic.
That was Ori Neer, spokesman for Americans for Peace Now, a group pushing for a peaceful political solution in the Middle East. Details coming up also. Fighting continues between Israeli troops and Hamas militants. We get an update. And African leaders take a look at China's technology at the Belt and Road Forum in Beijing. These stories and more on African News Tonight. We start with our top story. U.S. President Joe Biden heads to Israel and Jordan tomorrow as the U.S. government both shows its support for Israel in its conflict with Hamas militants and pushes to get aid to people trapped in Gaza. More than 4,000 people have died since Hamas attacked in Israel on October 7th, and Israeli responded with widespread bombardment of the Gaza Strip. To get the latest, we have Linda Grantstein standing by in Tel Aviv. Welcome, Linda. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Thank you.
So, how are Israelis reacting to the news of President Biden's visit?
Well, I think Israelis are very happy about President Biden coming. They see it as a show of support. I'd just like to add that we have some breaking news, which is that the Palestinian Health Ministry is reporting hundreds of Palestinians dead in an airstrike on a Gaza City hospital. And I've seen, numbers ranging from 300 to 800 dead. Now, the Israelis are saying that they're investigating what happened, and they're not sure if it actually was an Israeli airstrike or if it was a Hamas rocket that fell short of its target. But in any case, we're talking about a major, large-scale number of Palestinian casualties.
Wow, that is indeed breaking news. And on top of that, like truckloads of aid at Egypt's border piling up with Gaza barred from entry, and residents and humanitarian groups are pleading for water, food and fuel for dying generators, saying the tiny Palestinian territory sealed off by Israel after last week's rampage by Hamas was near total collapse.
Yes, that's true. Israel did turn on the water taps in southern Gaza. Israel has asked Palestinians to leave northern Gaza, the top half of the Gaza Strip, more than a million Palestinians. Unfortunately, many say there's nowhere to go, but about 500,000 have fled either to family members or in southern Gaza or to UN schools and UN facilities. Israel has did turn on the water in southern Gaza, but Gaza really does seem to be on the verge of a humanitarian crisis, and that's one of the issues that President Biden is going to discuss.
Yes, and also Biden would also go to, I think, to Jordan to meet with King Abdullah and Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas.
Go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting. Yes, there's an attempt to try to make sure that this conflict doesn't spill out beyond Israel and Hamas. And so that's one of the things that President Biden wants to make sure about. He also wants to discuss whether Egypt might be willing to accept some of the Palestinians from Gaza.
So are there any concerns Biden's trip could inflame groups that support Hamas, like Iran, such as Hezbollah in Lebanon?
It's possible, although Biden's trip is probably what's delaying an Israeli ground incursion into Gaza, because Israel certainly doesn't want to do it while the president is here. It's possible. I'm sure that, all security precautions are being taken. But Israel does see the visit as an important show of support by the American government for Israel.
And are there any other developments in the fighting today you could share with us?
No, sort of more of the same, Israeli airstrikes, and Palestinians continue to fire rockets, pretty far, including at Tel Aviv, which means that they actually have those long-term rockets. But I think everybody is kind of waiting for President Biden to come to sort of see how it develops from there.
And before we let you go, let's piggyback to the Gaza City Hospital. So you're basically saying it could be Israeli bombs or, rockets from Hamas that misfired or something.
Yeah, that's true, although my guess is that based on the way the Israeli army spokesman said that the reports are under review, he said he doesn't have all the information yet and further details will be provided when possible, and they don't know if the blast was an Israeli strike. Now, at the beginning, this really just happened in the last half hour or so. At the beginning, they were saying it was definitely not an Israeli strike. So now they seem to be hedging their bets a little bit. If it was an Israeli strike, assumedly it was a mistake. I mean, Israel doesn't target hospitals. But you're talking about a very high death toll, and that's going to, of course, inflame passions on both sides even more.
VOA's Linda Gradstein updating us from Tel Aviv. Thank you for your input.
Thank you.
The Progressive Israeli Network, a coalition of organizations representing Americans committed to pursuing democracy, equality, and peace in Israel, has expressed support for the Israeli people. PIN, which includes American for Peace Now and J Street, also urged those carrying out military operations in the Gaza Strip to act responsibly and respect international law. Ori Neer, spokesman for Americans for Peace Now, explained to VOA senior analyst Mohammed El-Shenawi what prompted the progressive Jewish organizations to issue that statement.
Well, first of all, we wanted to send a message out to express our feelings and our concern after the horrific attack that happened in Israel. We thought it would be important for there to be an organized voice of organizations that are more progressive, more liberal in the Jewish sphere in the United States of America. The line that you quoted was included because we thought it was very important to acknowledge the fact that the blood is boiling in Israel. We know that it is, and we know that it's boiling among supporters of Israel here in the United States, myself included. But at the same time, we wanted to make sure that people understand that it's really, really important, that it's crucial that Israel maintain its status as a law-abiding state that does not act as a militia, but act according to the requirements of international law. And that's why we added that line.
But Israel is preventing food, electricity, water, and medicine to enter Gaza Strip.
We recognize it. We hope that it will be temporary. We will hope that soon there will be humanitarian relief for the civilians in Gaza who do not deserve to suffer from the horrific actions of an extremist Islamist militia which came into Israel and wreaked havoc.
The statement said, going forward, we urge our government in Washington and the government of Israel to pave a path toward a political settlement to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which would put an end to the ceaseless cycle of violence and suffering between Israelis and Palestinians. What could be a political solution when the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu said even normalization of Saudi Arabia would not be in exchange for an independent Palestinian state?
Yes, we know. We know what the dynamics are in the region. We know that there is extremism. We know that there's extreme hatred. We know that there is a great deal of vengeance on both sides. And we realize that in the current circumstance, and that the current circumstances talk about peace now, although my organization's name is Peace Now, is not realistic. But we also very much want, and we very much believe that we should always keep our eyes on the ball. We should always keep our eyes on the goal, which is to achieve peaceful resolution between Israel and the Palestinians, not only between Israel and Arab states. And we think it's possible. And we think that all the efforts should be made, A, to keep the path open toward peace in the future, and B, to start when time is right with negotiations between Israelis and Palestinians, with international mediation to achieve peace on the basis of a two-state solution. So the idea was to say, yes, this is a time of war, we understand that, but we should also pave the path toward a time of peace.
Israel never would accept Hamas as a partner in a peace process. What should the U.S. do to revive peace talks between Israel and the Palestinian Authority?
There are many things that can be done and should be done, and we are working on a proposal for the administration of both steps that can be taken now and the steps that can be taken in the future in order to do that. Some of them have to do with protecting the areas in the West Bank that are being swallowed by growing Israeli settlement activity. Some of them have to do with strengthening Palestinian state institutions, including the Palestinian Authority itself. And some of them have to do with American public recognition of the viability and the justice of a Palestinian state, a future Palestinian state. We believe that it would be the right thing to do when time comes after the dust settles for the United States to actually acknowledge and recognize Palestinian statehood.
That was Ori Ner, spokesman for Americans for Peace Now, speaking with VOA senior analyst Mohammed El-Shenawi. Israel is in the 11th day of an aerial bombing campaign of the Gaza Strip, where it also has cut off water, food, and electricity. The death toll has risen to at least 1,400 in Israel and more than 2,700 in Gaza since Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th. Palestinian-American Philip Farah, who lives in suburban Washington, D.C., says he has many close relatives in Gaza, although he grew up mostly in Jerusalem. A member of the American group Palestinian Christian Alliance for Peace, he tells VOA's Carol Van Damme, many Christian Palestinians in Gaza are staying in churches, hoping Israel will not bomb holy sites.
Their presence in Gaza was pretty large, but because of the horrendous conditions over the past, really, I don't know, 50 years plus, and especially after the siege of Gaza, which started 17 years ago, a brutal siege. Many have left, and now only, you know, mostly older people are left. They come from a neighborhood called Al Zaytun, which means the olive, and it's a Christian neighborhood, used to be, now probably mixed, built around one of the oldest churches in the world, St. Porphyrius. Relatives there, I'm in touch with one of them. Communication is horrible, as you can understand. He tells me that the Christians in Gaza are in their churches because they're hoping that there won't be any bombing of the churches. But in fact, Al Zaytun neighborhood is one of the neighborhoods that has received some of the worst bombing. So
saying churches are being bombed?
I don't know about whether there was at one point a report that St. Porphyrius was damaged, but that was later pulled back. But they are staying in the churches, many of them. I don't know how many, and I don't know how many have moved south, as, you know, Israel requested.
Speaking of that, do you know anyone yourself who has decided to pick up and leave and move south because of that warning from Israel?
No, I don't know, but there is no safe place. I mean, Israel ordered 1.1 million people to move to the south, which is absolutely impossible. And that includes churches, hospitals as well. And, you know, for hospitals to evacuate is a death sentence for people in the hospitals. It's absolutely impossible. There's no clean water. This is one of the worst things. As many people were moving south, some people were moving south, and they were being bombed as well. There's absolutely no safe place. And reminds us Palestinians of the Nakba of 48, when 700,000 people plus were expelled from their homes, especially the death march from the Lod and Ramla area. That was 700,000 people. There are reports that there are 800,000 people are on a death march now to the south. It really is a death march. And, you know, the world is watching and not paying any attention. In fact, my relatives and friends in Gaza are absolutely shocked that the Western powers have rejected the Security Council call for a ceasefire. I'm an American, and that two superpowers that wanted that voted for the resolution are countries that are supposed to be enemies of my country. What am I to think that the U.S. and other Western leaders have rejected the idea of a ceasefire, you know, when China and Russia see that this is a human tragedy that ought to end?
That's Palestinian-American Philip Farah. He was speaking today with my colleague, Carol Van Dam, from Vienna in the U.S. state of Virginia. You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. Liberia is heading for a second round of voting for a presidential election between incumbent George Weah and opponent Joseph Boakai. The French news agency AFP says provisional results today place them neck and neck with little chance for an absolute majority that would avoid a runoff between the top two vote-getters. With more than 94% of ballots counted, the National Elections Commission says Boakai has 43.70%, while Weah, a former international footballer, has 43.65%. A runoff is tentatively planned for 2 weeks after the announcement of official results, but could be delayed by possible appeals. African policymakers and leaders attending a summit on China's Belt and Road Initiative say their continent stands to learn a lot on investing in technology to pave the way for industrial growth. The two-day summit opens tomorrow in Beijing with a mandate of strengthening relations between Africa and China while discussing Beijing's signature policy, which has provided over $100 billion in loans to African countries to build infrastructure. For more, VOA's Mike Hove spoke with Imani Hendricks, a Tanzanian journalist, at the meeting.
I think here in China, they are embracing very well their own technology. But also when they see the world is moving, maybe is taking another step in different aspects of human life, whether it's communication, technology and others, they might think on how they can create something of their own, how they can localize that technology so that they can have their own. So I think it's very important thing that African countries can tuck away.
What are the differences in the way that Africa facilitates or handles technology in comparison to what you're seeing in China?
I think in many countries in Africa, we don't embrace our own technology and innovation. We just tend to take and borrow other innovation from developed countries.
What are your thoughts on how China uses technology and social media platforms such as TikTok and WeChat to monitor and distribute news?
I think my thoughts will be both positive and negative, because I think the way they monitor news and distribute information via TikTok and WeChat, it's like more of a localized technology that most benefits people who are here. So when a visitor come to the country, it's a little bit hard to copy with their network. You know, when, for example, I am coming from Africa, so many people doesn't use WeChat. It's like you start afresh to orient your family members, colleagues to download it and have it so that you can communicate with them. So it's like there is there might be kind of communication barrier when in the first days. But I say it's positive because, as I said before, embracing their technology. And this is something that I love very much. I have liked very much. They really, really value their own things, which is something very good. And I think this is one of the things that makes them develop, not only in the communication sphere, but also in other fields like infrastructures and business and industries as well. So I think it's something, I can say it's something good when it comes to have their own things, embracing their own things.
That was Imani Hendricks, a Tanzanian journalist attending China's 10th anniversary of the Belt and Road Forum. She spoke with VOA's Mike Hove by phone. VOA.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
Niger's military government says 6 soldiers and 31 insurgents were killed in fighting in a restive region plagued by groups linked to with Al-Qaeda and Islamic State. 18 soldiers were injured. The French news agency AFP says clashes broke out in the western Tillaberi region near Burkina Faso between Sunday and Monday. Tillaberi is in the vast and unstable Three Borders region between Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso, where jihadist insurgents have carried out attacks for years. The latest fighting follows several other deadly attacks in the region in recent weeks.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Reuters reports that Nigeria has burned 4 tons of seized pangolin scales valued at $1.4 million, the first time it has publicly destroyed seized wildlife products to discourage illegal trafficking. The critically endangered pangolin is one of the world's most trafficked mammals. Its scales are in high demand in traditional Chinese medicine, despite no reliable scientific evidence they have any medicinal properties. And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehias Wahib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbili Abaro, and our engineer, Zainab Abdulrahman, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
VOA Africa Radio, we let the sound tell you the story. News, sports, science, and entertainment available to you 24/7. Tune in on your local FM stations. We are also available on the medium waves 909 kHz and 1530 kHz. Our short waves are 6080, 15580, 4930, 15165, 15580, and 17530 kHz. VOA Africa.